You know, Jerry Stiller died this week.
I saw that.
So we could start off with a tribute to him by just saying, I got a lot of problems with you people.
Jerry's very funny. He's great on Seinfeld. I love George's family is, every time they go to George's family, it's amazing. Yeah, him and Estelle, I just love so much. Like,
yeah, and some of the classic voiceovers where the camera's outside the house and you just hear them arguing in the background. Oh man.
Yes.
You're terrifying him. Wrestle your father, George.
All right, welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast. We're exploring how to take our faith beyond Sunday morning. This is Patrick Nazaroff. With me, as always, Pastor David Bowser.
How we doing, Patrick? All right. Let's do it.
All right, so I've got some news.
Oh, all right. We already did the welcome thing. We already did that.
Yeah, we already did the welcome thing.
Okay. All right, well, let's do the you've got some news again then.
Yeah, I've got some news. So, across the country, the economy, I'm putting that in quotes, our world is opening up a little bit. So, we're kind of tiptoeing into the waters here of, hey, is this going to be okay? Some people have jumped headfirst all the way in already.
Some people have been pushed in. Some people have jumped in willingly. Some people are preferring to stay on the beach.
Yes. Yeah. But, you know, I think that's the intent, is to get our feet wet and see what happens. That was the intent, whether it happened that way or not. But have you gone to any restaurants?
Not to eat at the restaurant. We have had takeout from restaurants. Yeah. But we have not gone out in any way that is different from what we were doing during quarantine.
Understandably so. Same as us. We're kind of in the same boat. We have not gone to any restaurants. We have gotten takeout. We got some delicious barbecue on Mother's Day. Yeah.
I mean, all the places were doing such a good job with takeout. I'm like, why do I need to sit at their restaurant now? This is...
For sure.
I just take it home.
Plus, some restaurants are thinking, wouldn't it be weird to sit in a partly empty restaurant, right? That would feel... that you're in there and you're, you know, separated from everybody else. That's why you go to the restaurant, is that social atmosphere that you're part of. So one restaurant in Virginia, a Michelin star restaurant, that means they're really good.
It's fancy, yeah.
Yes, three-time Michelin star restaurant.
Okay. That means three times it was really good.
The Inn at Little Washington in Washington, Virginia, very, very good restaurant there, has plans to figure out how to make the restaurant feel full, even if it's not full.
Please tell me they're going to fill it with animals.
They're filling it with mannequins.
Oh, man. That's so much more terrifying than animals. I would much rather just, eat in a room filled with sheep than in a room filled with mannequins.
And not just any mannequins. These are mannequins dressed in, Victorian-era garb.
Nope. This is the start of a horror movie.
Yeah. The 1940s. And the servers have been instructed to wait on the mannequins.
To go have
one-sided conversations, refill drinks, to give you the atmosphere that you're in a fancy restaurant, a full restaurant.
Hard pass. This is absolutely how the next B-rated horror movie is going to start. It's going to be mannequins that come to life, and not doing it. So you're not into
the mannequin situation here. You don't want to.
I mean, listen, mannequins in the store doing the job they were created for is creepy enough. I don't need them, Nope.
Yeah, if you went to someone's home and there were just a bunch of mannequins, you'd be like, all right, I think I've seen enough. Yeah. Yep.
I'm going to go ahead and socially distance myself from this situation. That's a great new excuse we can use to get out of stuff, Patrick. I've got to socially distance myself from this.
Absolutely. Sure. So, I was thinking, if you really wanted for Sunday morning, since, we're recording our sermons, we could put some mannequins in the sanctuary, really feel like you're preaching to an audience there.
Yeah, really give me a sense of terror in my heart. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. There are a lot of places where pastors are putting stuffed animals or pictures of their congregation or things like that in the pews, which I think is, that's kind of, it's cutesy, right? Whatever. But mannequins, no, hard pass. Absolutely not.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they intended it to be a way to allow plenty of space between real guests and have some few smiles and some fun photo ops. I don't think I would be having some fun smiles and fun photo ops. It would be more, sheer terror and feeling, I'm not sure I can be in here.
I don't think they understand what fun photo op is supposed to mean. Like, fun photo op is, oh, here's my face inside of, you know, this funky looking body thing. Like, right, you know, one of those, like, board cutouts where you put your face in the hole and you look like somebody else. Yeah, that's a fun photo op. Mannequin is no. Nope, 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 nope.
Yeah, the owner here says, here, this final quote, we're all craving to gather and see other people right now. They don't all necessarily need to be real people.
Yikes.
Disagree. <Nope. laughs> Although I do understand the desire to gather and see other people.
Sure.
Mannequins does not equal that. That's not right. That's not a satiating that need.
Not for me anyway, yeah.
Okay, so you heard it here.
That's gonna fill my nightmares for the next couple
David's
weeks.
House. Put him in his lawn.
Don't. I've got enough problems and nightmares. I don't need that added to my list today.
All right, so we're moving on to our real story. This, not real. That was real. You know, our head story.
This is not fake news. This is all real. These are all.
Yes, and so you know, part of the frustration of recording on like a midweek that releases early next week is sometimes we miss like cultural moments that come on quick and we always release a little bit late.
Sure. This I mean, short of recording every podcast live.
Sure. Well, but you know, we could record like on a Wednesday and release on a Thursday, you know, kind of a thing. But, you know, we have
jobs that we do. we do not just do this. We have other things to do.
That is true. So about a week and a half ago, you know, a huge social media uprising came around about one individual who has been shot and killed in Georgia.
Yep.
Let me get his name here. I want to make sure I pronounce it right. Ahmaud Arbery.
Yeah.
A young black man going for a jog in a predominantly white neighborhood was accosted by two individuals with guns, a father and son, and a third who was recording the confrontation that and it ends with this young man's death.
Right.
And this happened back in February. But the reason it became kind of a big thing nationally recently was because that video was released to the public. That in February, it sounded like not a lot of progress was made. The two men were not arrested, and it probably was going to end up being, it seems like, a bit of a dead case. Like, nothing would have really come from this. But then this video is released. Let me ask you real quick. Have you seen the video of this confrontation that ends in death?
No. I've not seen the video. I do not have any interest in watching the video. If I were on the jury or something like that, then I would, you know, do that. But I don't need to. I don't need to watch that. I can,
Agreed. I have also not watched the video. I have no desire to watch a human being be killed. And even wanting to watch it for, like, to show myself, like, this is a real thing that people have to deal with in a real way.
Yeah.
I just don't want to put that into my own brain and life right now. But I have read descriptions of the video, you know, from a lot of different sources. So even though we have not watched the video, I think you and I probably have a good sense of what happens in this video. And so this obviously has brought up quite a lot of issues of race, issues of gun ownership, issues of justice, all these things kind of swung to the surface on this one case. And so when you know, heard about this case or read about it for the first time, you know, what was going through your head? Let's start there. Let's start through our initial reactions.
Yeah, I'd say my initial reaction, I did not hear about it in February. I'll just be honest about that.
Me neither.
Didn't hear anything about it. You know, hearing the story come forward, I heard it most recently because Ahmaud's birthday happened. And so a number of people were running or posting things about running a certain distance in honor of his birthday and kind of and talking about their experiences of running and not being afraid versus having to run and be concerned for your safety. So that's when I first started hearing about it. It was probably about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. And I guess I was tragically not shocked. You know, I mean, that's the worst part, is to feel like you're just desensitized to it. Like, oh yeah, another innocent person got shot and died because of it. And I hate that that's my reaction, but I think that that was a piece of my reaction, that I just wasn't surprised that this is what we're facing again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Similar place of view. I heard about it through social media, through other people's posts, not in the national news media. Of just, here we are. This and that running campaign. Did you? I'm not a runner, so I did not run. Right. But I did go on for a. I did go for a walk that day, and like everybody else, like I walk through our neighborhood. I take my son at least once a day. We go through a walk in our neighborhood. We walk somewhere between 1.5 to 4.5 miles a day during quarantine time. And never once have I ever been scared for our lives, except when an older lady did not seem to be paying attention and was driving towards us. But never once have I looked at another person and thought, hey, this is somebody, or I never once think, I could be shot by walking in this, or I could be assaulted by this thing. And that is, you know, very interesting, right? Like, so even though I maybe didn't do the run that day, I definitely understand its sentiment that I don't have that fear going out into the community.
Yeah.
And some people do. And that's tragic.
Yeah, I think that was a big piece for me. You know, I've been a runner off and on since high school. And I've never had a place where I felt like I was unsafe, right? I mean, I've run through cities. I've run through small towns. I've run through college campuses. It has never mattered where I was running. Certainly, you know, when I was in college, I was in Columbus, and there were parts of the city that you didn't run through, like, you know, just because they weren't safe areas of the city. But that was not because, oh, I'm not going to run through here because I don't feel safe. It's just not a good idea, right? That's a different animal entirely. Yeah. And I think that reflection is important, right? I mean, I think we get caught up in our own story so often of, well, you know, he shouldn't have been there, or, well, he shouldn't have done this. It's like, well, why? Why shouldn't he be allowed to go for a run in this public neighborhood? Like, you know, I don't have a problem with anybody running down my street innocently, you know, exercising and trying to take care of their, like, why should that matter? And why should anybody be allowed to accost someone with a gun? Right.
Yeah.
Whether or not we want to make this solely about race, for me, I think it's obvious that race played an issue in this, and we can maybe circle back to that. But whether or not this was a race issue, whether or not that race was a part of this, it shouldn't matter, right? People should not be allowed to just stop you randomly on the street when they have a gun. That should go without saying. And I don't think this is a reason, like, you know, this is not a gun argument either, right? This isn't like, oh, well, if he had had a gun, this would have been safer. There's no scenario in which him having a gun would have made this better. We just shouldn't be doing this to each other. This is not how we're called to treat one another and to interact with one another.
Yes, I am with you on those things. So the defense by the two men in question, it's a father and son, they saw Ahmad running through the street. Supposedly he fit the description of somebody who had been having some robberies or breaking and entering in the neighborhood. Now, it's since come to light there have been no police reports of breaking and entering in that neighborhood for the previous 6 weeks or something like that I read on the news, you know. But potentially, you know, I'm on, like, my Nextdoor app. People say, like, hey, somebody looking at my car, or they were mysterious people walking through the neighborhood, and they give a general description. So maybe they're on their Nextdoor app and they see that a man fitting Ahmad's description of a tall, thin, black man was potentially engaged in something suspect in their neighborhood. And here's this other guy, a tall, thin, black man. Maybe that's him. Yeah. So, you know, maybe, you know, even in the best case scenario, I want to say, okay, so maybe they think, we read about this, this could be the guy.
Yeah.
But there are plenty of tall, thin, black men in Georgia.
And there are police.
Like, yes, absolutely.
We don't have vigilante justice in this country for a reason.
So even if this Ahmad, which I don't think is true, even if Ahmad was doing suspicious activity in this neighborhood, you have to say, is it worth him dying over? Like, yeah. Even if that was true, and I don't think there's any evidence to suggest that it is. Now he is dead for potentially what? Breaking into a car? You know, if that's right. The greatest crime, he's now a dead man for something like that. And that's not how justice in our world works.
And that's regardless of the intent of the two individuals, right?
Yes.
You know, I don't know their intent. I don't know if they went out there to murder someone. I don't know if they went out there to stop someone and something went wrong. I don't know, right? But there is no scenario in which it seems like death should have been the result of this.
Absolutely. So in the video, Ahmad is running. These two men in a truck seem like trying to cut him off. It sounds like he attempts to avoid them, to go around them, to not want to engage with these two men. I'm sure it's a terrifying final moments of his life to see two men of a different race pull up in a truck. I mean, like, it would be scary for many of us if, you know, you're running there and somebody who looks different jumps out with guns pointed at you screaming. He gets into a wrestling altercation with the son and is shot by his shotgun twice and succumbs to his wounds right there. Yeah. So this is a video that's been released. It's been by a third party, a friend of the father and son duo who was out there with them. So this wasn't just a casual bystander. This was an accomplice. He's part of the roundup. So there's a third man too coming out there with a gun, also has a gun. And so you just put yourself in that situation. And I've seen some people say online, well, he should have just listened to them.
Why? Why should he just have to listen to two strangers with guns who are yelling at him?
Yeah, that goes into the face of everything. So many things that I think we would question, right? Like if I was running the neighborhood and two guys with guns jumped out at me screaming, firing shots, would I not be predisposed to think these men want to do me harm? Like, why else would they be here? They have no badge. They have no authority. They're just two people threatening me. And so a fight or flight defense is very reasonable in that situation of like, what I have to fight for my life because that's what's at stake here. They have a weapon aimed at me. What else? What other options do I have? And in fact, I believe the third man's lawyer is the one who released this video. And with the intent that it would exonerate the father and son duo by saying, hey, this all could have been avoided if Ahmad just listened to these men.
Plan backfired a little bit, didn't it?
Which is crazy to me that you see this man, this Ahmad, get murdered and think, oh, let's blame him for what happened. If only he responded in a cool-headed way when men jump out of trucks assaulting him with guns. If only he had a cooler head in that situation and not. This never would have happened if these two gentlemen decided not to be vigilante justice out there. Right. Decided not to bring guns when they saw a black man running in their street.
Yeah.
So, and then there's this other issue, which we've kind of danced around, and that is a very real issue here, and that is the issue of race.
Yeah.
And so, it's undeniable that race is a part of this. You know, I think that that's a very real thing.
Yeah.
That this brought this into the national light. It's another black man shot for jogging while black. I mean, that's just what it is. And that's the way it is. He was surrounded by black. Because of the color of his skin, he's dead.
Yeah.
And that's not something that I have to deal with or that you have to deal with. Mm-hmm. And I know, like, we can appreciate the irony of here a little bit. Like, we're two white American Christian males speaking about issues of race. But I think part of what is valuable right now is to have white Christian males talk about this and say, like, I acknowledge I do not have those same fears and the same the same potential outcome as Ahmad because of my race.
Right.
And I think that that needs to be said over and over and over again.
I think that needs to be said. And I think we need to be clear that racism, right? If we, let's just call it what it is. Racism, the fear of another person because of the color of their skin, or the judgment of another person because of the color of their skin. Racism has no place in the kingdom of God. It has no place in the Christian faith. And for us to look at another person and think anything about them without knowing them, without taking the time to know them, is not the place of Christianity. And I think Christianity as a faith needs to be doing a much better job of calling this stuff out, of mm-hmm. saying this is not in line with the teachings of Jesus. We want to work for justice. We want to work for a world in which all people are treated equally and act equally and have an opportunity to run safely in our streets. Why wouldn't we want a world in which everybody has an opportunity? Well, you wouldn't want a world in which everybody has an opportunity to run, but to be safe in our streets, regardless of their physical activity, right? Why wouldn't we want to create that world for our children? It seems to me like this should be such an easy thing. It should not be hard to say, as Christians, we see Jesus pointing us to a world in which all people can live their lives safely without fearing for their life, so that we can serve one another and care for one another. That seems like that's low-hanging fruit as far as Christian faith, and yet it appears not to be, right? Because over and over we see this stuff. I mean, we see it continue to happen in our society, and even if we want to acknowledge, yeah, there are people who are not Christian in our society who are not going to follow the path of Jesus, sure, that's fine, but many of these people are doing it in the name of Jesus, or at least under the guise of faith.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And so I think this really kind of points out, like, this is what we're talking about when we discuss an issue like a white privilege. Sure. It doesn't mean that you or I have had easy lives, or you or I have had, success handed to us, or we didn't work hard to reach whatever level you're at. That's not what it means.
Yeah.
I can say my life has been hard in a lot of ways. You know, I grew up in a divorced home. My dad left in poverty. You know, like, I grew mm-hmm. up in a tough situation. And so I can say, like, yeah, life was hard for me growing up. And yet I can run in my neighborhood and not be scared. And that is the privilege I have based on life. It has nothing to do with how hard I've worked. It has nothing to do with what, you know, my rising to the level of my talent or whatever any of those things are. It's just this acknowledgement that I do not have to worry about this. This is something that's taken off my plate by society, that I had no doing. Like, it's not like I earned this in any way. It's just there. And so when we say, you know, our privilege protects us, this is what we're talking about. And Ahmad does not have that privilege. He does not have the ability to run in peacefully and calmly without being assaulted.
And now he doesn't have the ability to run at all.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. And I'm
that's
seeing
now
that
been taken from him. Yeah.
In general, because he's not the only black man or woman out there that has that.
Sure.
That they all have another notch of there's fear here. Another notch of I'm scared. And the only reason, and we can say, like, the biggest reason, justice seems like it's being delivered, that the two men have been arrested, that there seem to be criminal charges going forth, is because it became public.
Yeah.
That the police had this video, the police had all this information, but since it became public, that's when the ball started rolling in the situation. And had there been justice immediately, or a sense of investigation immediately, you and I probably would not be having this conversation, because it would have been part of a community in Georgia dealing with something that happened in Georgia, but it became national news because a video was released that they had access to and did nothing about. Again, maybe that's an outside perspective, but that's what it feels like. These two men were not arrested until this video came out.
Yeah. And, you know, this is not the only kind of story that has been coming to light in the last couple of weeks about this, right? I mean, there was, I'm looking up her name right now because I want to make sure that I get it correct. But there was a woman who was an EMT, served as an EMT in Louisville, Kentucky, and she was in her home, and police came into her home without her, like, they forced entry into her home, I guess is the way to describe it, because they were looking for someone else. Someone who it's described as a botched search warrant. So they were looking for someone who was not in that home, who was actually in another location, perhaps was even already in custody. That part is kind of in up for discussion. And they broke into her home and shot her 8 times. And you know, and so I'm trying to find this article to find her name, and I'm sorry that I'm not seeing it quickly here. Breonna Taylor. There we go. Breonna Taylor was her name, is her name, an EMT worker out of Louisville. And I mean, I have never in my life, right? This is, again, same experience, right? I've never in my life thought to myself, man, if I encounter a police officer, they might shoot me. Yeah. Right. That's never been a concern in my life. I've always grown up in a world in which I trusted the police, right? From the time I still remember being 5 years old, going to Kettering Safety Village, where we had like this little map of a city on the floor, on the ground, and we like drove around in cars and practiced stopping at stop signs and learning how to cross the street and learning how to follow traffic signals. It was great, right? I still remember doing that and having the police officer come in at the end of the week and like shaking all of our hands and giving us little badges and telling us, you can always trust a police officer, right? And I remember like as a kid, this was my life, that I could always trust police officers. And now throughout history, people of other races have not had that experience. Police have been part of the problem, have been as guilty of these crimes as others. And I want to be clear, not all police, right? There are there are many wonderful, dedicated, hardworking police officers who are doing everything they can to stop this sort of behavior, right? But in the same way that like Christianity has to call this out, I think police officers have to be willing to call some of this stuff out too, right? We have to be willing to say, for sure, this is not representing what we as police want to be doing. This isn't it. I don't think any police officer in their right mind would say, yeah, what we want to do is break into innocent people's homes and end up with people dead. I really don't think that's what a police officer wants to do. But we've gotten to this place where we feel like we have to always defend our own, or we always have to, you know, step back and put up these walls. And it's just not helpful to the conversation. It's resulting in us being further divided from one another rather than allowing us to give space to grieve the tragedy that's before us and to admit our faults. Like, it is okay to admit that something terrible happened and to try to make amends for that. Mm-hmm. You know, as people of faith, we should always be working towards a more just world, which is a greater reflection of the kingdom of God. And this is not doing it. And as long as we allow this stuff to persist, it is not doing it.
Oh, amen. I agree completely. You know, in a similar boat, I grew up trusting cops. I grew up thinking they're good guys. They're always going to be the good guys. And I still believe that, by the way. I still trust our police. The vast majority of police do the right thing in the vast majority of situations.
Absolutely. Yep.
You know, in high school, I was in a play at my church, and we needed like these guns, and my friend and I made these fake shotguns, and I lived about half a mile from the church, and we carried these two realistic looking shotguns to the church, and we decided to go through the alley of our house towards that direction. We had these two teenage boys carrying guns. People saw that. They rightfully called the police. We were stupid. We didn't even realize we were doing wrong. Cop shows up, gives us a ride. You know, like, again, like, imagine this of like, I've got this realistic looking gun in my hands, and I was never once scared that the police officer was going to shoot me. And maybe that's a little bit of ignorance on my part, but I do think it has that idea of like, that is part of that privilege that I have, that it was never an issue. And that for the cop, never an issue to draw a gun on a child who might be carrying a weapon. It was never a question for this officer that you know, responded to us.
Yeah.
And I think that is something that is there. And that's why we, as a white congregation or a white denomination of Christianity or white people on this podcast, have an obligation to say, what happened to Ahmaud is wrong. What happened to this woman is wrong. Breonna, what happens in issues where a black person or a Mexican person or an Islamic person is denied justice solely because of the color of their skin is wrong. Yeah. And that is always wrong. And it's wrong when it happens to a person who's Caucasian as well.
Yeah.
But
that's not the story we're encountering on a seemingly regular basis, right? And
yes.
And maybe that story is just not being told, in which case, show me that story, and I'll gladly say, yeah, that's wrong too. This
Absolutely.
This is not what we're created for.
Yes. I think, though that does happen, it does not seem to happen on a systematic scale towards the minority races in our country. And I think that we can say, it's just wrong. And by making it so, a black man can jog in a neighborhood without fear of being shot in no way takes down my rights as a citizen, and in no way makes my life worse. It only makes the life of my community better. And that's why getting rid of privilege is not about getting rid of things that made my life easier. It's about wanting those things that make my life easier to go to every other person in our world, that they don't have to have that same fear that I don't have, that they can be have the same expectation that the police are on their side, the same justice for when crimes are committed to them, the same social interactions, that they're not looked at as thieves or thugs just by existing. And I think that that is something that we need to stand up for as Christians and as people who are white.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah. All right. I think we're going to have to wrap up there. My son is waking up and screaming at me through my monitor here.
Timmy!
Yes, little Tim. Yeah. So I'm going to let you wrap us up while I go take care of him. Is that all right, Pastor Dan?
Send us off. I got this. Yep. Hey, okay. If you liked what you heard today, you can find all of our episodes at www.beyondsundaypodcast.com. Of course, you can follow us on Facebook or check us out on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, all the places, any of the places where appropriately crafted, articulately formed, and socially distanced, all those things, podcasts are available. We hope that you and yours are staying safe wherever you are. We hope that you're able to take care of yourselves, and if you're able to, taking care of someone else as well. Hey, a couple things to make sure you know. If you are out there and looking for a place to worship, Word of Life has all of our worship services online at this point, so you can find us on Sunday mornings at our normal worship times, 8:20, 9:45, and 11:05, on our website or on the Lord of Life Facebook page. That website is www.lordoflifeonline.org. You can follow links to join in worship with us there. We hope you're doing well, and we will look forward to seeing you back here on Beyond Sunday next week.